Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. I had a pause there. I wasn't sure I had the recorder button pushed or not. But this is Fred Schenkelberg and Kirk Graves once again join me. Hey, Kirk.
Hi, Fred. It's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to RAMS because I think you mentioned you're going to be there in January. And so we'll actually have to record a couple of sessions live with a cup of coffee between us.
Right. Maybe you and I and John Paskowitz, who's going to be presenting tutorial, I believe, mm-hmm. on and promoting our book, Next Generation Halt and Hass, by Wiley, which we just published and came out in June of this summer. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I haven't been to a RAMS in over 12 years or some long, long time. So probably a good idea. And Orlando's a good place to be in the middle of winter when you're from Colorado.
Well, it's good and bad. I mean, years ago, RAMS was held right on the Disney property there, at Disney World. And at any one time, less than half the registered attendees who picked up their name badge were at the conference.
Yeah, you don't want to have it too fun outside the conference because you'll lose most of your audience.
So that's right. So it was good for having discussions and for the people who were there were you know very active and very and it was a lot of good networking. And we talked about that kind of stuff in the last episode we did.
Right.
But one of the questions we got recently, you know, a lot of the different episodes we've been ending with, you know, let us know what you want to hear about, what you think about. And so we received a request like that, and it was on process validation. And right. I had to look it up and now I'm drawing a blank. I'll have to figure out how to get the definitions right again. But there's, in the product development process, we set objectives. We listen to the customer what we think the customer wants. We create a document, usually like an engineering specifications document, saying it's going to be this size, this color, this function, this range, whatever, the whole list mm-hmm. of things that mm-hmm. that the engineers then take and go figure out how to solve that problem and make that product. And then we spend time in the development process, and this is where I hang it up, is that where we validate that we met the specifications or that we verify we met the specifications? Because one of them deals with the internal requirements. The other one goes back to what the customer wanted.
Right. And here I just looked up, you know, since we're always in front of our computers, I just looked up a good definition of verification versus validation. And this is from smartbear.com. It says verification is testing your product meets the specifications, the requirements as you have written them. Did I build what I said I would?
That's the validation.
Yeah. Validation tests how well you address the business needs that cause you to write those requirements.
Okay. So more of the customer side of things.
Right. It's also called acceptance or business testing. Did I build what I need? And that's a quote from smartbear.com page. So did I build what I need? Well, yes. I'd say we're talking a little bit about the Samsung issue. And unfortunately, just recently, Southwest Flight 994 had to be quickly evacuated because of a rather dramatic failure, which has already been known. And that was on the Samsung phone, I think Galaxy 7. Which has actually gotten so bad that as you talked about on your flight and mine too, recently they've made a specific announcement to turn off and not to ever turn on your Galaxy 7 if you have one.
Yeah.
Which I kind of wonder why anybody be carrying around something that dangerous right now in their pocket.
Well, there's millions of them out there, right?
Yes.
And to be fair, right. There's been, you know, on the order of tens of issues. So it's a rare event. And unfortunately, the consequences are pretty severe on an aircraft. So I think exactly. There's an abundance of caution there.
Right.
And it was in the news, though, a couple of weeks ago, and the big recall and all that stuff. So I'm kind of surprised there's still phones out there that are blowing up.
Well, the interesting thing about this one in particular was that the individual owning it, Brian Green, showed the photo of it where he dropped on the plane. And he took a picture and he showed the photo of the box that came in to show it had a black square symbol, indicated it was a replacement Note 7. And so that's, of course, a very significant concern. Now, you realize Samsung has this, when this kind of thing happens, and any company that's, especially in consumer electronics, is making millions of devices, when this kind of thing happens, they really have a supply chain issue of where do they go get a million more units to replace the units? And did they eliminate the root cause of the fire? Yeah. Are these batteries causing catastrophic
That goes back to, combustion. I mean, we've talked about and other issues that we've ran into. I think you did a article on the Boeing issue, and it was the ignition key that had a really good report that you did an article on. Sometimes we get into the details. Now, the Samsung one, right. I mean, we have to admit, we're just seeing the press releases and the news and, you know, what's out there. But it goes back to that question on validation is, to some extent, they went through the process development. I'm sure there was a timeline and some pressure to get the product out and all those kinds of things that occur. But they probably had a series of internal specs, the size, the water. It's one of the phones that's water resistant, I believe. And and so they probably had a whole suite of specifications internally that they either met or got close enough that they thought it was fine, and they released the product. And I'm quite sure they were confident that they weren't going to have battery issues.
Well, sure.
They've been using these batteries for years and similar systems. So something went wrong. To some extent, writing the right internal specifications requires that you have to know what you're looking for.
Exactly. And they, you know, whether they identified the root cause and have been sure that they know where that failure mechanism was first created, or the latent defect that caused destruction of the batteries was formed, and have been sure to eliminate that, that would be the first item in looking at the replacement batteries. You're going to have to replace all these huge number of Samsung Note 7s before you did this. Now,
well, I agree, and it's the notion, though, is that did they have the right criteria to judge did they solve it or not? And so the root cause is really, in my mind, the critical step for the replacement batteries in particular. But something also went wrong to miss a catastrophic failure mechanism like this we'll probably never know if they see this occur during development and ignored it. That we have no information. We don't know.
No,
but that's the verification step, right?
Right. So right. Verification. Validation is...
part is different, though. Does it clearly, with a recall, it's probably not meeting their business requirements or their customers' requirements. Nobody wants to be told, oh, everybody with a phone other than Samsung can keep chatting away, have a good time, watch your movie. But if you have that phone, turn it off. It has to ride on the outside of the plane. We're going to put them in a bag and drag them behind us.
Or do what Boeing did for the 787, and that was
grounded.
They grounded them, but they never really, as I understand it, talking with many people that are in and around the world of lithium-ion batteries, and I included this in my book, that they never have come up with a root cause of why those batteries caught fire on the aircraft. So one of the things that the way they addressed the problem was to make a much more robust battery compartment that could vent to the outside of the plane. Mm-hmm. And so that even if all the batteries ignited, it wasn't a risk to the passengers nor for the aircraft, catching fire. Yeah. So they mitigated the problem because it's a tough situation. You know, as we know, failure analysis can be very difficult, especially if it's catastrophic and you've burned up everything. It's kind of like the arsonist. That's right. I mean, arson investigator, how they do their work and how they go back into a burned up, you know, charcoal on the ground sort of that situation. Say, well, this is my best scenario for how this sequence of events. Mm-hmm. And lithium ion batteries are a very chemistry based device. So the chemical reactions over time and the cycling over time, it's very difficult sometimes to age them or accelerate those significantly without changing a lot of characteristics like the temperature of the battery and things like that, that might actually change the mechanism. So there are certain devices like lithium ions that are relatively reliable because of the number, if you look at the number of batteries out there in the world versus how many dramatic incidents like the Southwest Airlines flight. And it's a pretty small number. It's a pretty small.
It just makes the news. That's a problem.
That's right, because it's automatic. And the Dell laptops and other laptops and all those laptops that were catching fire were also in the news, and certainly because of the failure mode is a significant factor to that. But we don't know what happened in this device, and Samsung's kind of now doubled down on their problem because if this is a replacement –
and they have a problem, yeah.
They have a real serious problem because now you can't count on the cell phone they sent you as replacement. And,
that's right.
Oh, boy. That could sink their whole smartphone business, really. It's going to certainly cost them a lot.
It certainly is. But the idea of validation, whether it's a process validation or a product validation, is different than do you meet your internal specifications. It includes the unwritten and unknown customer expectations. And so that's what makes it a bit trickier. And some organizations will do a limited release or a beta test and let actual customers manipulate the product and mess with it a bunch and try it. Like thermal chambers, as you know, Kirk, as you come up with a new model or feature, And rather than build a couple hundred of them and hope you sell them, you hand them out to known customers or trusted customers on a limited basis and ask them for feedback. Get their impressions, get their feedback so you can make it exactly what they want.
They call that a beta release usually or something like that, or a trusted customer. Sometimes they get the best customers to... you know, that they've been very loyal and will do the best job of giving them feedback. And that's certainly the most valid validation, I guess.
Well, that is a validation. And it's not trivial. It takes time and it takes you have to set it up and set expectations correctly. It's still an early release of a product. So you have to balance, do I have enough of the bugs worked out and is it working well enough that it doesn't give us a black eye with our best customers, for example.
Right.
And we really, really want the feedback. So like Microsoft, they on one of their operating system releases a couple of years ago, they advertised that they had 1 million beta testers. Right? And they learned in a huge amount. But can you imagine setting up a test bed with a million instances running?
Right.
The amount of data collected.
Advantage of software versus the hardware.
That's right.
You can actually, everybody can download an operating system. And you really need that kind of numbers of people because of the particular
the complexity,
different permutations, the complexity, the interactions with all the other different programs you have, and things that are, I mean, Microsoft can't get close to possibly testing every program or app, as we call them now.
In a mixture of apps.
In a mixture, right, running and interacting apps between, using other apps and
different layers of the operating system. Oh, yeah, it's
it gets, you know, in fact, as we know with CPUs, the permutations that, well, there's been a, I think, classic problem. Intel didn't catch it.
The floating point problem?
Exactly, exactly. Because it just takes, you can't test every permutation. I mean, it's just takes
now. You know what we should do, Kirk, is set up a Hall of Fame of classic failures.
Right.
Because you mentioned Intel, I thought immediately of the floating point issue.
Exactly,
there.
Exactly. Somebody else found that, or a company, one of the, I don't know if it's HP, somebody, some manufacturer of computers discovered it much later. And it was a not a big error, but it was, you know, could be a problem in
And banking. Banking was the guys that are really concerned about it.
When it comes to counting for money, money, you want to make sure your decimal points go to the right place.
That's right. You know, a billion here, a billionaire, like the congressman says, you know, pretty soon we're talking about real money.
Or those guys that did the rounding,
Shaving the roundoffs. Yeah.
Shaving the roundoffs, putting it in their accounts and having pretty significant numbers of dollars.
After a few months, but also a significant number of years in prison. You should mention that too. But the idea of validation is, and I'm going to try to get back to this. The question is
that verification versus validation.
Verification is internal. Validation is external, and did we make the right thing? Did it meet a customer requirement such that they're going to buy it? And two is if they do buy it, does it work for them? Work? And that's when I talk about reliability goals, I talk about it's a function, a probability of success, a duration, and an environment, you know, the use conditions and weather around the product. And I add a fifth one that's not common in the definitions of reliability. It's the customer will always want more functions, right? Less failures, a longer lifespan, and work in a wider spectrum of environments and use conditions. And so as soon as they get a new product, they'll say, great, you met my requirements from last month. And now I want it to do this.
Right.
And that's we're never caught up with that scenario. And so part of it is anticipating what they're going to do with the product. And that's what I think makes validation very difficult.
Right. Well, one of the things that you see up and coming, especially in the smartphone business and Apple kind of set a new bar with the iPhone 7, and that is the water resistance.
Well, Samsung's advertised that for a while. You know?
Samsung has advertised that, but let me put a little note in there, because I did have a Samsung Galaxy 5 and it did say it was water resistant, but it had a little asterisk on that. And that is because it had a little rubber plug that you would put into the, you were supposed to put into the, to the connector port for that
port?
To be true. Yes. You know, that to me was a design flaw. I mean, that's an assumption that's just not going to fly, because we don't want to be plugging and unplugging our interface to the phone, the wire. Well,
I can't get a cap on my ballpoint pen.
Exactly. You're going to lose it. It falls off. So I saw that fairly quickly. So you can't make that qualification. So, you know, Apple did the next best thing. They removed all the ports that they could, which was a headphone plug, which was a big risk. And then they, I assume, sealed very much the lightning connector inside, and they show it. Now they're advertising it, dropping it into a glass. And that was a common, you know, issue with phones dropping into toilets and any other place and lakes and things like that. And you'd suddenly ruin a $600 device, you know, you'd be dead. So they're addressing, the market is addressing the validation or improving its capability and what the customer really wants they can.
Now of course, we're going to want ones that work in space. We want ones that work in a mine 2 miles below the earth. We're going to keep pushing those requirements. I want one that will survive on my dashboard of my car, wherever my car goes. And, you know, phones right now may or may not work there. So it's the difference between what we want and what they're capable of creating. And in the validation part, in for consumer products is what we buy. I mean, the ultimate validation is
right.
The call center complaints coming back to you, but more importantly, right. is your market right. share.
Is exactly. Where people go. Like battery life, is that, you know, is that a something that's acceptable? That's a validation sort of the some of the features that it's meeting the market's requirements. Like mm-hmm. a 3-hour battery wouldn't work in a smartphone.
Not today.
In fact, we hope that they'll improve that as time goes on. I still love the old flip phone where I only had to charge it once every 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone.
Yeah. As soon as you start streaming YouTube videos of your cat, it's not going to happen.
So hopefully we addressed a little bit of difference between verification and validation. Verification is checking and make sure it worked the way you designed it and met its as we wrote the requirements. And I guess validation is, does it meet the customer's need,
right? Which is, it's difficult. So anyway, hopefully, and I'm sorry I didn't pull up the message that I got to address it completely, but I'll have to look it up and I'll send you when this episode airs. I'll let you give you a heads up to make sure you don't miss it. But thanks for the question, and I will use that as our sign off. Is basically, we're serious. When I've been mentioning this for, I don't know, probably 50, 60 episodes now.
We're glad to get feedback. Finally, we can kind of respond to and gives us a good subject that many other listeners may have the same question.
That's right. And one of them, I brought in James, I want to say Kovacek, but I know I'm pronouncing his name wrong. So I apologize to James again. But the Kovacevic. That's it.
Uh-huh.
I'm starting to get it. Kovacevic.
Okay.
I asked him to join us for some speaking of reliability because we had some questions on asset management, and that's mm-hmm. his area of expertise. So, and I know we talked to John Pashkowitz about becoming a co-host here, and he brings mm-hmm. yet another realm of disciplines and focus. So let us know what you're interested in, because that's going to help us to shape the show to meet the validation concept, is meet what your needs are. What are you looking for? But more mm-hmm. importantly, I'm looking for people to, you know, is literally join us at the table, you know, meet us at RAMS would be a literal way of doing that. But use the comment fields on reliability.fm. Let us know what you think, what questions you have. Get in touch with us. Let us know what you'd like to join the conversation with. And we'd love to hear from you. So with that, Kirk, let's go ahead and wrap this one up.
Okay, Fred, it's good to have another session with you, and I look forward to having a few more in the future.
All right, great. Thanks, Kirk. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.